Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. It's been a great week, half a week, and been good to be here. Amen. Appreciate all the Lord's done. Amen. It's been amazing to see what the Lord's done. And I personally feel like, I thank the Lord for all the money that came in for the radio, but I feel like yesterday was the greatest day we had. I really do. I praise the Lord for what took place and what's happened. Here in the house of the Lord. And so thank God for it. Good to see you out on this Sunday morning. You pray for me and that the Lord will help me this morning. So let's look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 13. Paul said, "But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Amen. I just heard it in that song, didn't you? I just heard that about comforting words in that song. And that's what I'm preaching about this morning, comforting words. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all you've done for us this week. And you're just so good to us. You bless us so much. We overlook it. And I pray that you'd speak through me this morning. I pray that you'd comfort the saints of God with your words. And I pray for sinners, Lord, that they'll not be comfortable at all. I pray that you'd convict them and you'd draw them, that they might be saved by the grace of God. And I thank you and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And I want to look here in these verses and just reading these verses ought to excite the child of God, especially in the day and hour that we're living in. But Paul, I believe, there's kind of a break in chapter number 4 and verse number 13. It's like he's starting a new thought, and I believe he could use all of the words that he has spoken to comfort them and to help them. But Paul writes the book of 1 Thessalonians. He starts out with giving them words of commendation. He tells them that they're doing a work of faith and a labor of love. And he's commending them for how that everywhere that he goes, everywhere their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And they was doing a local thing. And if you do something for God here in Island Ford, it'll reach the world. Amen. You can send missionaries. Thank God for the radio station and all of that. But Paul has given them words of commendation in chapter number 1. And in chapter number 2, he's given words of confirmation and how that you know that you believe God's word is true is you follow what the word of God has to say. You believe it and then you behave like you believe it. Amen. And you believe it not like it's just something that the preacher has to say, but it is God's word. He told them, "For when you received the word of God, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." And he said, which worketh effectually in you. You know how you know you believe the word of God? It'll work inside of you. It'll work in your heart. It'll work out of you. There'll be a change. And so Paul, he commends the work that they're doing, that work of faith and that labor of love that they are doing as evidence that there's a change in their life and they were waiting for God to come. I'll tell you the greatest motivation of our day to do a work for God is that he's coming just like that he said he would. Hey, Paul said they'd turn from dead idols to serve the living God and they were waiting for his son from heaven. I'll tell you any church that's not really waiting and watching and looking for the coming of the Lord will not be involved in what God would have them to be doing. Amen. And so Paul is giving them words of commendation and words of confirmation that he sees in their life. He's given them words also
of, in chapter number 3 of correction, he tells them about how that they need to learn to, well, that's chapter number 4, but chapter number 3, he's given them, alliteration just helps me, amen, maybe it'll help you this morning, but he's given them words that he's concerned about them, amen. He said, I'm concerned about your faith. I haven't been there with you for amount of time, and he said, I'm concerned about your faith, he said, because you are appointed unto afflictions. As children of God, the Bible tells us there in chapter 3 that we're appointed unto afflictions. And he said that you're going to go through tribulation. He wasn't talking about the great tribulation, but he's talking about trouble under pressure. That is the Christian life, amen. If we're trying to do anything for God, we're going to face afflictions and tribulations. And the old tempter, the devil, he said, I'm worried that the tempter hath tempted you. And he said, our labor that we've done on your behalf is in vain. And so Paul was concerned about them. There are concerning words in 1 Thessalonians. And there's correcting words. He's telling them to abstain from fornication. He said that the will of God in their life is sanctification. And he's correcting their lives and helping them to learn how to possess their vessel in sanctification. And Paul says in chapter number 5, after he gives them these comforting words that I'm going to try to give you here this morning, he's doing that there might be a continuation. He tells them about the things that they're doing, and he tells them in chapter number 5 how that they are to continue and comfort themselves together. I mean, that is one of the main words of the book of Thessalonians and one of the main reasons it was written, to comfort them, because we're living in an uncomfortable day and an uncomfortable time. And by the way, children of God should never get too comfortable in this life, should never get too adjusted in this life. This world's not my home, as the songwriter said. I'm just a stranger passing through. I'm to live my life as a child of God, as a stranger and a foreigner and a sojourner, looking for a better country. Amen. I'm glad for where I'm heading. I'm glad for my citizenship that is in heaven. There was a time when I was without hope and without God, but I've been made a fellow citizen with the saints. I'm a part of the household of God, and I'm glad. Until he comes, I want to continue in the work that God had me to do. Amen. Amen. So, but I want to deal with those comforting words here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And I want to say these comforting words, and keep your Bible open. And Paul says, here's something that Paul says in verse number 15. He said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. He's saying, these are not my words. These are God's words. And so I want to say that these are words of holiness. These are God's words. He's a holy God. And I'm glad the Holy Father. I'm not talking about a fellow sitting over there in Rome, amen. I'm not talking about, and by the way, and I wondered, is that even a scriptural term of Holy Father? You know who said that? Jesus said in John 17, verse number 11, in his prayer to his Father, he called his Father Holy Father. And when Jesus was born into this world, the disciples called him Thy Holy Child. I'm glad today I've got a book I'm preaching to you, that the Holy Father, by His Holy Spirit, compelled, inspired holy men to give us His Holy Word. That means it's complete, it's sanctified, it's perfect, it has no fault, amen. And so what Paul is saying, he said, I'm saying this to you by the Holy Word of God. There's a fella, he's one of my friends, he's got a lot of strange doctrines he believes, but he doesn't believe in the rapture. And we was trying to talk to him about the rapture of the saints of God. And he said, I don't believe that. I believe the Word of God. And I said, I didn't get this out of a comic book. I didn't get this out of Reader's Digest somewhere. And that's what Paul's saying, amen. He said, I'm saying this to you out of the Word of the Lord. It's scriptural this morning that Jesus is going to come in the clouds. And you and I that are saved by the grace of God, if we're still alive, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm glad it's a comforting thing in my heart that he's coming again, just like he said. And it ain't based off some seminary's words. I mean, thank God for ones that will give you God's word. But it's based on the bedrock of God's word this morning. Paul said it'll comfort us, didn't he? He said it'll comfort us if we'll read it and believe it. He said in verse 14, for if we believe. Amen. One thing to have the Bible, it's another thing to believe it. Believe a lot of our stress and a lot of our trouble and a lot of our heartaches is a result of not believing God. Amen. And so the comforting words that Paul's talking about, they're words of holiness. But Paul said they're words of hope. He said there in verse number 13, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. And let me say this morning, if you're here and you've never been born again, you're without hope this morning. You're without hope and without God, the Bible says. And you'll be with there'll be no hope for you when the Lord comes again. There'll be no heaven for you. Everybody thinks everybody goes to heaven. It doesn't matter how they live their life. And we're not saved by works. But I'm telling you, your works is an image and a mirror of what your heart is this morning. There'll be no hope for sinners after Jesus comes in the rapture. I mean sinners that have heard the gospel. Thank God there'll be some saved during the tribulation period. But this morning, if the Holy Ghost nudges your heart and you reject him, you'll be without hope. You'll be damned because you receive not the love of the truth that you might be saved. I'm glad he's still a God in the saving business this morning. Amen. I tell you what yesterday was. I tell you, I didn't see a hopeless situation yesterday. There were some sitting here yesterday who had no hope. I'll tell you what, I thank God for the life of Miss Brenda Hall. I thank God for her life. But I'm just telling you a Bible truth this morning. There's no hope of you seeing her again if you're lost this morning. There's no hope of you seeing her ever again. I'm not happy about that. I'm just telling you the truth of the Word of God. There's no purgatory. There's no purging you after you die. You must be washed in the blood now. And you must be forgiven now. And there'll be no hope. I thank God for the saints of God with tears going down their eyes. Hey, them wasn't tears of hopelessness. Them were tears of joy and hope, thank God. Hey, that's just a treasure chest sitting there. She's just resting in hope this morning. And she's going to get up again. One day. Amen. She's just asleep in Jesus is all that it was. What if you die this morning? Amen. That word hope means confident expectation with anticipation. That's what I saw here yesterday. What about you? Amen. I tell you what, I really liked it when Brother Hall said, I'm ready to roll. You ready to roll this morning? I tell you, that made no sense to sinners that were sitting here. I promise you it made no sense. But I'm telling you, it made glory juice roll down my eyes because I knew what he meant. Amen. He's further down the road than you and I. I'll just be honest with you. I ain't wanting the hearse to come get me this morning. But if it did, thank God, I got a hope inside of my heart, a confident expectation and an anticipation that I'd be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That comforts me. I tell you, the rapture didn't always comfort me. God used it as conviction. I remember being out in the hunting woods and one of my buddies played a trick on me and he was hiding in his camouflage and I couldn't see him. I was scared to death and whenever I was almost in tears afraid the rapture had come and he said, what's wrong with you? And he was only about 10 yards from me. That's pretty good camouflage, amen. Man, maybe you got some camouflage on this morning. God will know, amen. He knows who he's coming for. These are words of holiness. These are words of hope. 1 Corinthians 15:19 said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. And I'm just going to use what God's done this. You know what was sitting there? There was a woman who had expressed a living hope, who'd been living a lively hope. And you know what? It wasn't just good while she was living. Thank God yesterday it was shown she had hope beyond the grave. Amen. Hey, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we're of all men most miserable. I'm glad I'm not miserable this morning. Hey, thank God I've got hope. I've got comfort in my heart. You got that this morning? I don't have it of my own merit. I don't have it of my own self. There's been times since I got saved, I've stopped and thought, what if I'm not really saved? I had terror in my heart, but you know what the Holy Ghost witnessed on the other side? He witnessed with my spirit that I was a child of God when I got born again. I'm glad, thank God, I'm looking for the hope of salvation of this body. Hey, I'm glad and I'm waiting on it. I'm waiting for the adoption to win the redemption of my body. Hey, what great hope we have, Brother Josh. It's a hope. These are words of holiness. These are words of hope and they'll comfort you. Amen. Well, they're fixing to do it about 2 o'clock. I was going to put myself there, but I thank God I got the same hope she had.
That's right.
Same hope she has.
Right.
They're fixing to go and sow that body in corruption.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
They're going to sow that body in corruption, but thank God one day it shall be raised in incorruption. Isn't that great? I mean, they have no more pain, sorrow, all of that anymore. Hey, they're going to go down there. You understand what I mean when I say this? Even the best of it, they're going to go sow that body in dishonor. It's going to be raised in glory. We saw a lot of the honor that she brought, her life brought to God. But I promise you, she's like me and she's like you. I was born into this world in a dishonorable body, fashioned like Adam. Isn't that right? And what a dishonor all of us have done. I'm looking forward to the day, thank God, when we're just going to honor Him throughout eternity, and we're going to have the body to do it, thank God. I wonder, you saved here this morning, do you have this hope I'm preaching about? Do you have it? I mean, it's going to be sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. It's going to be sown in dishonor and raised in glory. It's going to be sown in weakness, but it's going to be raised in power.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. I'm getting weaker and weaker. Amen. Sown in weakness, raised in power. 1 Peter 1:3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. You know what? In my old covetous heart, I got thinking, man, nobody's going to have a Ford like this. We'll have a Chevrolet that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. I'm going to have a house where I ain't got to fix the gutter.
Yeah, man.
But you know what? That ain't what that's talking about. Now, thank God we're going to have a home and
sure.
Live in a land that's not going to fade away.
Or,
but you know, I believe that's talking about that body.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
You say how elementary I've been. I was thinking about going to a place, but I tell you what, the greatest inheritance is going to be is having a body like His body. And listen, my strength is fading. Yours is too, amen. Wasn't it something to see a strong man that Brother Hall had been all these years, and God used him mightily as a soldier for this country, as a soldier for this church, and a soldier for the cause of Christ, and strong, and stand here years ago with vigor and vitality and preaching power and unction of the Holy Ghost to see just what it's brought him to. I'm not making fun of him there this morning, but I tell you what, there's still a hope as strong as it's ever been inside his heart this morning. I believe that, don't you? I believe there's a hope on the inside. I thank God this morning. I look forward. I wonder what it's going to be like to see a Miss Brenda Hall and a Brother Gary Hall. Thank God he may get translated out here, not have to go by way of the grave. Amen. My strength's fading. Don't worry, boy, I can still get you in a headlock and hold you down. He's grinning about that. Amen. My sight's fading. Had to get a large print, not giant print yet. But I got to notice now I had to do this. I'm going to try to go without them glasses as long as I can. I went to the optometrist. His wife or the optometrist down there in Dixon, every time my kids would go in, his wife was their optometrist. She'd say, honey, baby, sweetie. And I thought, well, I'm going to go to the optometrist and get called honey, baby, and sweetie. Well, they sent me to the husband. He just sat there looking at me. And I told him all of it. He said, here's what's wrong with you. You're getting old. That was his diagnosis. Amen. That's all he said. He did say, when you read your Bible, hold it back further. You know why? Because he can't do what the great physician can. Amen. I'm telling you what, it's probably not going to get any better the older we get, amen. But I'm glad, thank God, I'm going to get a body that'll have full strength. I'll have full sight, amen. Hey, and now I'm to walk by faith and not by sight. But thank God for the hope that I have this morning. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, Paul said, for which cause we faint not. He is talking about spiritually, amen. I'm telling you, Paul, through all the things he had been through, he wasn't talking about necessarily being strong in his flesh. He said, for the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, while we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He said there in chapter number 5, the very next verse, he said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He said, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Hey, thank God. Paul said in that same chapter, I'm confident and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Now, right now, wouldn't this be right? They've got some kind of spiritual body there in heaven. Is that right? I'm glad as I've borne the image of the earthy, the image of Adam, I'm going to bear the image of the heavenly. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Just throw this in there. Everybody that's sitting here, you're going to live forever somewhere. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Amen. You're either going to go to hell in the lake of fire forever with some kind of body there burning throughout eternity. That's the truth of God's word. God don't want you to go there, but that's where you'll go if you reject God's holiness and God's righteousness. And above all of that, you reject His Son. Amen. I'm glad He said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle dissolved,
We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Amen.
I'm glad here that I've got an abiding hope in my heart this morning.
Yes.
Everybody that's saved has an abiding hope on the inside.
Amen.
Colossians 1:27 said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I feel like I ought to say it again. I'm not talking about hope so salvation. I'm talking about a confident expectation with anticipation on the inside of your heart. Say, what is that? That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I remember when he moved in, thank God. I remember when he moved in by the power of the Holy Ghost and him and his Father made their abode on the inside. Amen. I have abiding hope, Christ in you, the Bible says. I have an anchoring hope. That's me in Christ. It's Christ in you, an abiding hope. It's you in Christ, the anchoring hope. Paul said in Hebrews 6, verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show in the heirs the promise, the immutability of his counsel. I'm preaching to you something that ain't going to change.
Right, right.
Amen. The mutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, unchangeable things, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. I tell you what, I was like those fellows that need to run to the city of refuge that Brother Calloway talked about. I'm glad there was a hope set before me and his name's Jesus this morning. Man, I was afraid I was going to lift my eyes in hell.
Yes,
I knew I was guilty.
Yep.
I sure am glad the man of God left me some hope.
Amen.
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 Says, which hope we have. We have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us.
Amen.
Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Both sure and steadfast. You know what's going on here this morning? Thank God. Some anchored in saints. What happened here yesterday? Amen. Hey, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus Christ, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I'm glad Jesus is already in heaven. I'm seated in him. Thank God. I'm sealed with his Spirit. Thank God, I'm anchored within the veil. I feel pretty secure.
Amen.
That's pretty comforting. Amen. I have abiding hope and anchoring hope. The Bible says we're looking for an appearing hope. Titus 2 verse 13 said, looking for that blessed hope. You looking for him to come this morning? You afraid of his coming? I'm not looking forward, Brother Josh, to the judgment seat. I sure am glad if he comes this morning, I'm going. You looking for the blessed hope? I told you one of the things I was scared to death of is this text right here about the coming of the Lord. I mean, I don't need Tim LaHaye's books. I got Jesus' book.
That's right.
I'm not saying everything's wrong in there, but there's something wrong in there. Amen. There ain't anything wrong in here. I'm glad for a man of God that preached the catching away of the saints of God.
Amen.
You have that hope in your heart?
Amen.
That assurance? That looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior who gave himself for us. For now, I'm just to rest in that hope.
That's right.
Or no, I'm to... those that are dead, the Bible talks about here in this text, those that are asleep in Jesus. There's no soul sleep. They're not, I mean, they're very conscious in heaven, but is that not right, Brother Shepherd? That's talking about their body that's in the grave. They're not even really asleep. It's just making it figurative that they're just resting. You know why? Because there's more for them to do. God's going to change that body. And it's going to be fashioned like his glorious body. But Acts 2:26 over there, it's talking about Jesus' body in the overall context, how that God didn't leave his body to corrupt in the grave.
Amen. And even it's talking about David in that same text. David said that my body will rest in hope. You'll not leave my body in corruption. David was resting and he is resting this morning in hope, just like Miss Brenda Hall is resting in hope this morning. David is, and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the saints of God are resting in hope this morning. Same Spirit that raised him up is going to raise us up. We that are saved. Say again this morning, if you're here lost, there's no hope. And there's no heaven for you. There can be. Amen. For now, we're that are living, we're to remain in hope. He said, those which are alive and remain. Those which are alive and remain. Hey, Paul said, I'm not writing this to people. He said, I'm not having you be ignorant, brethren, concerning the which are asleep that you saw or not, even as others which have no hope. There's some people who don't have hope. Amen. Is that you this morning? You can have it. I want to stress that you can have that hope. I've always said when I was pastor, I said, I want everybody to feel welcome at the church, but never comfortable. I don't ever want sinners to get comfortable in the house of God. I want God to deal with them. We are to rejoice in hope. Amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 4, the latter part of that, it talks about the Lord Jesus says that he said, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Chapter 5, verse 1 said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace when we rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Amen.
I mean, I guarantee there's people here yesterday that didn't understand the rejoicing.
Right.
They probably thought, you ought to be quiet. Now, there ought to be respect. In the funeral, I could get on a whole message about the disrespect of funerals, but I'd get mad and I wouldn't be so nice. Amen. I tell you, it wasn't disrespectful. It was hope.
Amen.
It was hope. So Paul gives words of holiness. Paul gives words of hope. He's giving them comforting words. He's letting them know that these words of hope, these are God's words. Amen. Unchanging words. These are words of hope. Paul says, these are words of Him.
Amen.
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 He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. I tell you, there's no hope without Jesus.
Amen.
She's perished in vain if there's no Jesus that lived and died and was buried and rose again. But He has, amen. That's our hope. That we have these are words about His decease. Look at what it says there in verse number 14. For if we believe that Jesus died, you believe that? We was out knocking on doors one day and there was about an 85-year-old man and he was literally in tears. I thought maybe this man's going to get saved, but you know what he's in tears about? He said, I wish Jesus would have never died. He said, how many more blinded eyes he could have opened? How many people he could have healed from cancer? He said, I wish he'd have never died. And me and Brother Eric, he wasn't my pastor then, we was meter readers. And Brother Eric talked to him, they're reading meters. And we tried to tell him, but he just kept squalling, Brother Steve. Couldn't even get through to him that Jesus had to die where man would have a new body one day and man would never be sick anymore. Hey, thank God that he was willing to die. It's His decease. Luke 19:31, we'll find the Bible tells us that Moses and Elijah up there on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord. You know what the Bible says? That they, it said, who appeared in glory and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. This book don't fit our comprehension. Somebody dies, I don't see it as an accomplishment, do you? Amen?
Yeah.
This was an accomplishment.
Yeah.
In fact, when Jesus was up there on the cross, the Bible said when he saw that the scriptures were accomplished.
Yep.
Amen. That word means, it means complete fulfillment.
Amen.
It means to finish, to furnish, to verify, to perfect.
Amen.
It's all about him. This hope ain't in me. This hope that I have is not in you, and yours is not in me, and it's not in the church. It's in him. It's in a person, Jesus Christ, this morning. And thank God that he is willing to die. And so there's words of comfort in him and his decease that he was willing to die and accomplish what he needed to on our behalf. I'm glad he done it for every man. I'm glad he is willing to taste death for every man. His defeat, look at this, what it says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. When I say his defeat, I don't mean him. He defeated death, hell, and the grave, didn't he? Amen. He said over there in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He said, I've got the keys of death and hell. And he said, amen, in between those. And so I say amen this morning. Thank God the defeat. Jesus rose again. Hey, thank God. And listen, we're going to experience the fullness of the victory of resurrection power one day.
Amen.
He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. And there's a lot of theological things I ain't going to go into in that, but I'm just trying to tell you the Bible says one day, in essence, we're going to say, oh, death, where is thy sting?
Yep.
Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Paul said the strength of sin is the law and talks about sin and all of that. I'm glad, thank God, he become victorious over sin and death and hell and the grave. Because he lives, I'm going to live. Thank God for songs that say this, but I'm glad they're scriptural ones, aren't you? It gives me hope that his decease gives me hope. His defeat of death gives me hope. Comforts my heart.
Amen.
His departure. Verse 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Amen. He left, but he's coming again.
That's right.
His departure, but his dissension. Look at what it says. It says there that he's going to come. The coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven.
Yep.
Now that word himself doesn't mean alone.
Right.
So how do you know? Because it says in verse 14, he's going to bring some people with him.
That's right.
I like that song Brother Calloway sung there. Man, I can't tell you the times riding down the road and turn that on. Christian life ain't easy. Life ain't easy in general. It's better being a child of God. But I'm telling you what, there's been a few times tears come down my eyes, Brother Calloway singing that song on his CD that he gave me. Amen. You know where he got it from? The Word of God. And it just boils up hope inside of my heart that he is going to descend one day. Here's just thought I had by all you high-level theologians. All debate on what about to shout and all of that. It said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Yep.
And the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I just wonder, Brother Shepherd, I may be wrong, I don't know, but this hit my mind. Will the shout be a unified shout of the saints and the Savior coming?
Right.
They're coming with him, isn't that right?
Right.
By the way, it'd be good to shout on the way out of here. Amen.
Yes.
Well, sleeping saints with him with a shout. I don't know.
Amen.
I don't think we can fully tell what all that means exactly, but I tell you what it does mean. He's coming.
That's right. Amen.
He's going to appear again.
Yep.
I already gave you the last one, but let me say there, these were not comforting words for me when I used to hear them, but they are now.
Right.
I wonder about you this morning. Was it a comforting situation here yesterday for you?
Amen.
Were you very uncomfortable?
Right.
Amen. I thank God for funerals. Somebody said in there, it's about the only time people think of death anymore.
Yep.
I thank God for Brother Shepherd preaching the Word of God yesterday.
Amen.
I went to too many funerals And they just get up and talk a little bit, and I think you ought to talk about it and do what was done. But I'll tell you what, somebody ought to get up and talk about Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Talk about death,
yes,
and resurrection power.
Amen.
Amen. So this morning, as a church, you know, he was writing to the church at Thessalonica there. In chapter 5, he just told them this right before, he's saying, hey, continue what you're doing.
Right.
Keep rejoicing. Keep abstaining from all appearance of evil. Keep on. You read that yourself. And I say this morning, these are comforting words.
Amen.
That's why I wanted to leave you this morning with comforting words.
Amen.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't give you a very comforting word. But I can give you God's word.
Amen.
What it says, amen. It'll be a comfort and a help to you. That's what it's about. Yeah, I keep going back to it. But thank God for what the Lord did here yesterday.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, if you would, every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know what the Lord's saying to your heart, but I tell you what, it's given me renewed comfort. Renewed comfort to know if I die today, I know where I'm going. Anybody need to come? Brother Josh, would you come play softly if you would? We'll just have him play. We won't have a song. I tell you what, I'm just one man preaching, but the Holy Ghost can preach a lot of messages this morning. I wonder what he said to you. If you're here lost, listen. God loves you and he wants to save you and give you hope. But it's just a fact. You're hopeless in yourself. There's hope. So he begins to play, would you come?